Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Odyssey Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Oh, welcome everybody to the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Sorry about that. I hope you're all having a good morning so far. Mine is going a little rough, but anyway, we come to you every Saturday morning here at the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors from 6 to 8 a.m., and we are live, and if you want to get involved in the show, you got any questions or comments, 414-799-1250 is the phone number, or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. And finally, Danny Bush is back, and I'm Tom Neubauer. Good morning, Danny.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. It's good to be back. I guess I was only gone just that one Saturday, I guess. Yeah.
I was a little late with the opening because I pressed the wrong button on my phone, and I thought I hung up, and I don't know. It was really weird. I guess I didn't.
Well, you know, we're 30 seconds into the show, and we're already off the grid.
We're off
messing
the rails
up already.
Of the crazy train, yeah.
That's right. Already off the tracks. It doesn't take us to get long to get derailed, no. I tell you.
Well, listen, Danny, we got a number of emails that we got during the week that I'll get through kind of quick, all right?
Go for it. Take it.
All right. First of all, this is from our friend Bruce. It says, "Youper here. Thursday night, a little after 9 o'clock, my wife and I were on our deck. We saw something running across the field behind our backyard. When it got closer, I clapped my hands and it stopped. We could see it was a cougar. It hesitated and proceeded into the woods. We are in Pewaukee off of Highway K. Danny, you got something to watch out for out there."
Well, you know, I kind of like cougars myself, so I don't know. I'm not too worried about it. You know, well, your friend Sal saw one a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, in the area? Holy Hill area, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would really like to see one. But, you know, it's been well documented that we have young male cougars who evidently leave South Dakota, North Dakota, wherever, and they go out and try and establish their own territory. Mm-hmm. And via the use of trail cams, they've been able to sometimes piece together the track trails of them. Then the one made it all the way down to Chicago before, you know, the Chicago, you know, cops shot it down there. I'm surprised the Cougars Lives Matters group didn't really get upset about that, but evidently they didn't, nobody made a fuss when they shot the cougar down there. But if they ever find a reproducing pair of cougars in Wisconsin, that's when I'll be surprised.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess we got to have a female make its way out here.
Yeah, well, we got another one here. This is from Mark, and this is for a new, and now if anybody wants to read a longer detailed list, just go to the Wisconsin DNR Fish Consumption Advisories. Now this is for the Yahara Chain of Lakes and Waterways to the Rock River. Now, the Yahara chain of lakes is like Mendota, Monona, Wabisa. It said a new PFAS fish consumption advisory for all of those lakes. It's like for panfish, excuse me, crappie, largemouth bass, northern pike, walleye, you're recommended to only eat one meal a month. And for bluegill and pumpkin seed and perch, one meal a week. There's a certain type of, I'll try to say it, Danny. Polychlorinated biphenyls or something like that. Biphenyls. Yeah, polychlorinated biphenyls are in the water.
Okay, I'm going to say it's polychlorinated biphenyls.
There you go. You got it.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds real good. All right.
You know, I almost was a scientist, but then I changed careers. But, you know, I guess our good friend Paul Mihalik, who's just an expert fisherman and catches a lot of fish out of that Madison chain, and him and Don DeMuskie Hunter, they consume quite a bit of them. Maybe it'll affect them. I guess we'll have to ask them if any parts of their body start glowing or something weird happens. But I guess one meal a week of bluegill and pumpkin seed, yellow perch, yeah, that's probably no more than most people do anyway, I would think.
Yeah.
And one meal a month, same thing with crappie, bass, pike, walleye. I mean, very few people are, you know, we all got fillets in our freezer, but we're not eating it all the time. So I think in most cases, these advisories, it's nice they put them out there. But unless somebody's subsistence living on fish, I don't think we really got to worry too much. Something else will get us before the polychlorinated biphenyls will.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, if it was me, when it comes to pike, crappie, and bass, I'd eat it once a week if I could. But my wife, she'll say, well, we just had that. Well, yeah, that's okay. I like it. I don't mind having it again, you know, a week later. But anyway, I guess that's me. But this other one is from Chip. Now, Chip is from Erie, Pennsylvania. He listens to us. I don't know. I mean, on the podcast, I guess. Anyway, it says, well, there's two parts to it. I'll do this one first. He says, getting ready to start Lake Erie walleye fishing. Our catch rates are through the roof the last 4 years with no signs of slowing down in the last 3 years or so, although the schools of jumbo perch are tough to find now. All right, but here's the other part. It says, hi, guys, check out the link below. I thought you might find it interesting. It's basically about the California's 30-year-old assault weapon ban was overturned, and then it's got a whole long list of things you need to know. So I guess in California, you can have what they deem as an assault weapon, basically an AR-15. It's been banned for the last 30 years, but a judge just said it was unconstitutional. So
what you see happening, Tom, being as on a federal level, you know, with our current administration and president, there's going to be a push from the top on down, kind of to ban guns, against guns, but you got states proactively, I think, trying to preempt anything by passing their own laws protecting the Second Amendment. So you got states more and more you know, acting to protect our gun rights. So interesting to follow, though.
Right. Now, this last one is this is an update sent to us by our friend Jim Lombardo over there at Bell Ambulance. There's a Hot Rods and Heroes. It's a fundraiser for war veterans. It's going to be held at Jim Dandy's at 8900 South 27th Street, Oak Creek. And it's going to be Sunday, June 13th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And $10 per car entry. And, you know, it's a car show. A lot of cool cars show up there. There's going to be music there and all kinds of good stuff. Now, if you want any more information, you've got to call Deb. I don't even know how to pronounce that. You got to call Deb at 414-331-3303. All right, Danny, I'm done.
Well, you know, I keep going, buddy. It sounds good.
Oh, no, that's all. That's
no,
all.
No more emails?
No, that was those were sent during the week. I'm sure we'll have more this morning, unless everybody's out fishing.
Well, as far as...
Or unless we answer all their questions beforehand.
Well, let's talk a little fishing now. How about your son? Has he been out in the area doing anything in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I've been out this last week. And,
okay.
I'll tell you, I was reading an article in a magazine, and it said, the largemouth bass patrol the outside edges of lily pads. That's a lot of bull. They're in the lily pads. As a matter of fact, one day we were out, it was super, I mean, every day we were out super hot. And we were catching bass in 2 feet of water in the lily pads. And my son Chris got the biggest one. He got one that was over 18 inches. We didn't measure it, but we know it was over 18. And but no, they're in the lily pads, even in really shallow water. And even on those hot, hot days.
You know, I used to, as a kid, Tom, I loved fishing lakes, northern Wisconsin lakes, fishing on a shoreline where I saw lily pads, because that just made me excited. That just said bass to me in my young brain. And I pulled out the old snag-proof frog, which was also known as the fish-proof frog, because you could never hook them. But just having one fish kind of blow up on it in the lily pads, it was great. You'd cast it out and you'd twitch it. You remember the old advice, Tom, with topwaters? They used to say cast it out and let it hit, and then you'd watch the rings, you know, go out, you know, and so you let those vibrations or that sound, whatever, get to the bass and get their attention. Then you wait and give it a twitch, and then it move it slow and onto the lily pad. And I don't know, do you think there's any credence to that whole idea about when it hits the water, let those vibration, whatever, the waves go out there, and does that really alert a fish to the presence?
We had hits that as soon as it hit the water, it was being hit by a fish. It didn't have to wait anything. They, you know, fish, when something lands in the water, the fish know there's something there. If there's a fish around, you know, if there's a bass around, it knows there's something there.
Well, I guess now that
I don't go real slow. No, I don't go real slow.
No, you work it? Because I guess I used to work it. I'd crawl it over the lily pad. Mm-hmm. Then I just painstakingly work it. But for a young kid, it was fun because you were anticipating a hit from a 14-inch lunker bass at any time. And even if you got a 12-incher, you were thrilled. But I guess fish, when you think about it, they do react when something hits the water. They sense that. I don't know if you'd call it that they hear it or if they feel the vibration in their lateral line, but I mean, when there's a bunch of bluegills sitting under a dock, you can take anything. You can take a little pebble, you can take whatever, and you can take a leaf, throw it onto the water, and as soon as it hits the water, they'll come shooting on up, nosing it. So they obviously sense it.
Yep, that's what makes those wacky worm rigs so good. But I'll tell you what, 2 weeks ago, my oldest son, Chris, was up north, and something like this has never happened before to us, never, ever, ever. He saw a whole bunch of really nice bluegills, and not one of them would bite a mini mite. He said it was a good thing he had some waxworms with him, because that they hit all, or no, he had some night crawlers with him, and he was pinching pieces of night crawlers or, you know, throwing it out, and he said that they would hit, but the mini mite they wouldn't touch. Now, that was strange, because normally they hit the mini mite all the time. And so you were in here last week, and my son Nick bought a boat. Not new; it wasn't a brand new boat, but it was new to him. And I think I told you it was that Lumacraft Magnum 165 CS with a 90 horse Merc on the back. So. But he's got to get an electric motor. We were talking about that. The three of us were out fishing one day last week, and we were talking how he's got to get a new electric motor. And we were talking about the expense, you know, of those spot lock motors. And my son Chris says, well, I got spot lock in my boat. And we said, what? And he says, yeah, it's called an anchor.
Well, I will tell.
That was a joke. You can laugh now if you want.
Yeah. So, good one, Tom. I will say that, you know, I've got the new Humminbird and Minn Kota system all linked, and I'm only beginning to use all the different features, but that spot lock I love. because you can be in the waves and you hook a fish and you don't want to, you know, go drifting over the school of fish to spook more of them or get washed into
right.
shore. I hit the spot lock and I can help land the fish for the guy, unhook the fish, and it keeps you relatively close, you know, to the spot where you, so I find that spot lock to be invaluable. Now, the one thing I will say is this. I do feel that, okay, you see you're in clear, shallow water. You see a school of smallies, so you go to put spot lock on. I do kind of wonder, and Dale Strohsheim alluded to this, as far as do fish sense the electronics? Now, he mentioned even having sonar on ice fishing for walleyes in deep water. He even felt that that definitely spooked the bigger walleyes. And I do kind of wonder if you've got that trolling motor constantly turning and the blade, you know, the prop going, the sound of that or vibration of that and the other electronics. I do kind of think that perhaps that does spook the fish, and you'd probably be better off with the talons, if you got them, to put your anchor or regular old anchor in line, you know, and then just let the, everything settle down. So, you know, it might have its limitations. The good old-fashioned way still might be best in some cases, I'm thinking.
I kind of agree with that, yeah. And right now, we got to go to our first commercial break of the day, so stay tuned, folks. You're listening to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and Tom Neubauer.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. We want to take the time to thank our many listeners out there, and we also always pay our respects to law enforcement, military, healthcare, first responders. Appreciate everybody out there who help protect us and keep our country safe. And Tom, let's see, I was going to mention, you were talking about mini mites, and your son had a situation where the panfish were not hitting mini mites.
Yeah.
I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he's been catching panfish, gills, I believe he said, and mini mites, and he catches them on waxworms, just like you would use ice fishing in the middle of winter. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and yeah, I guess when you think about it, why wouldn't that work? In, you know, the same technique that you're using through the ice should work now for them in open water.
Yeah, wax worms for panfish, especially bluegills, has always been big over the years. But there is one problem. You catch a lot of those little 3-inchers on them, you know. And at least with the mini mite, the little ones don't, you know, they don't go after that bigger mini mite. You know, they're, you know, you're catching larger fish. The quality is better, generally, you know. And but when just using a wax worm and a little, like, an ice jig or something, yeah, you get so many of those little fish because that fits in their mouth real easily, you know. So, yes, you catch. You know what? That's great for when you got kids out, young kids that just want to see the bobber go down and catch anything. That's the perfect thing to use.
Well, and the other thing that, man, night crawlers. You can't go wrong with night crawlers. Just a little piece of night crawler sometimes. If you want to try and get bigger panfish or have a chance at a bass grabbing it, then I like to use at least a half a night crawler or go to a whole night crawler if I want to get a big bass. Now, obviously, if you got a bunch of panfish around, you use that whole night crawler, and there's a good chance you're going to get robbed or half of it.
Constantly.
Constantly. But if you got enough night crawlers with you, by golly, you can go to the whole night crawler. And I generally like to go with mini mites. I like to use a little bobber, and it seems like as soon as it hits the water, that's when you're going to get one on a mini mite. And then if you don't get one, maybe wind it a little bit and let it sit again. And if I don't get one right away, I like to cast out again and just keep covering water. Now,
I was going to say that's good for shallow water, But for when you're on the deep water weed line, you know, the deep edge of the weed lines, then, you know, then it's hard. You can't use a bobber then. Then you go bobberless, you know.
Well, I agree. In fact, if I'm going to go on that deep weed line, let's say I'm in 10 feet of water, something like that, I like to go with just a split shot up about 15 inches and small hook and half a crawler. Chuck that out and just let it sink on down. And then just, sure, you're going to get some weeds. You got to kind of slowly pull it through the weeds. But all of a sudden, there will be tap, 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 and you'll have a panfish on, bluegill, whatever, pumpkin seed. So, yeah, that's worked good over the years. Now, I did talk to, I haven't been out on my pier here a lot because I was out of town. Typically, this time of year, I'll start seeing the pumpkin seeds in here, and I can catch them right off the pier. I went out last year with our friend Randy Reading, and we went down the shoreline here and got some. But I haven't seen any along the shore here, but I did talk to a gentleman yesterday who said he's been getting the panfish, bluegills, pumpkin seeds, I don't know exactly what, but he's been getting them on the west end of Pewaukee. So evidently they are hitting somewhere on the lake here.
Well, I'm sure, you know, every day somewhere on a lake, some fish is biting, you know, someplace somewhere, you know, some kind of fish on the lake is biting. And, you know, it's funny, this last week on the lakes we fished, you know, we're catching bass in shallow water, anywhere from 2 feet to 6 feet. And I guess their new preferred temperature range is 75 degrees plus, you know, because there were a lot of fish in there. And, you know, everybody should be catching a lot of fish, especially under docks, too. Under docks, pontoon boats, things like that. There were fish all over the place. So, and I'm sure there were fish in deeper water. You know, there were bass in deeper water, and there were bass on the flats. Because I've always said that you can find them in one of three places, or like Buck Perry said, I should say, shallow, deep, or somewhere in between. You know, they're going to be somewhere.
You know, this time of year, let's see, when is Father's Day? Is that next week?
I think it's on the 12th.
Well, today's the 12th.
Well, I don't think it's today.
Well, I suppose because being the glorified, wonderful father that you are, I mean, you'd have the Goodyear blimp flying over your house from your adoring family.
I think it's next week Sunday, maybe.
You know, Father's Day, of course, we can't call it Father's Day anymore, Tom. It's called Non-Birthing Parent Day.
Oh, is that non-birthing, right?
Yeah, that's right. We got to, come on, man. You got to get woke, man. Get with the program. Yes, it's Non-Birthing Parents Day.
I'll never be woke.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I won't be a hipster.
Not going to be.
You know,
it's not a hipster. What are you talking about, hipster?
Hey, speaking of that.
What?
Okay, you know, you've seen guys with these buns, these man buns on the top of their heads?
Yes.
Okay, now that is the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen, right? That is so stupid looking. And the guys that wear them don't realize how stupid they look with them. Anyway, everybody's kind of like laughing at them. And you know what's just as bad is when women have it on the top of their heads. I think those are dumb looking too. Those top knots. God.
Well, what do you mean? You know, chicks dig the bun, man. Steven Seagal, don't you remember him? He was always the bad.
No, he had
you
a ponytail.
Is that a ponytail?
Yeah, he had more.
I think he had a bun in one of those.
But no, I don't know. I don't like the bun on women either. I don't like that either. I think that looks dumb too.
Well,
but especially on guys, that looks really weird on guys. But what? I'd never tell Mark Tauscher that. I'd say, Mark Tauscher, that looks good on you.
Well, how about like how about your wife? Did she ever get the bun?
No, never.
Did she get like her hair permed and stuff though?
About 40 years ago, once she did, and then she learned a lesson, didn't do that again.
See, my mom, you know, in the old days, women would get the perms, and I guess that was kind of an old-school thing.
Yeah.
And let me ask you that. Did your wife cut her hair short then, once she got older?
No, she leaves
no.
it long.
Well, but that's good.
One time when we were younger, she cut it short once, and it didn't look very good, so...
Yeah, I've always kind of... Kind of wondered, you know, why women as they get older, they cut, you know, guys like girls, long hair, and all of a sudden they cut their hair short, you know, because they because they're old and married. I don't know why.
Well, hey, well, why do guys shave their heads, you know?
Why do guys shave their heads?
You know, less to deal with, you know?
Well, okay, I guess so. Yeah, I guess you're right. People cut their hair. It's going to be comfortable, especially in this kind of weather. Most guys who shave their head are going bald anyway, though, Tom.
Yeah, usually that's the case, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could shave my head.
Why?
Never have to worry about it, you know?
Why can't you shave your head?
Because I would look like that one Three Stooges guy.
Curly?
Curly. That's why.
You know, I can't shave my head either because I think I got a flat spot on my head. I do. When I reach up, I feel on one side that and I think it's from my dad said when I was a little kid, they didn't have car seats. And one time I was like 2 years old, he had to slam on the brakes and I launched from the front seat right onto the floor or the dash. And he was thought I about killed myself. I think it did permanent damage, Tom.
That's why you are the way you are, huh?
I think it explains. It's that flat spot pressing in on the brain, which causes problems.
Yeah, well.
And then I feel all other kinds of bumps on my head, too. So, I don't want to shave my head, and people will see I got a flat half of my head. I'll look like a weirdo.
Well, that's all right. I don't think you and I have anything to worry about with shaving our heads, but right now, all we got to worry about is the bottom of the hour. We got another break coming up, and after the break, we have the weekly gut report. And I got a nice, refreshing one for you today.
Well, that's about time.
Yeah, so folks, you stay tuned. We got more to come right here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Come here, I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, when I said I had a refreshing gut report, this is what I meant. Now, in these warm days that we've been having, it's nice to have a liquid refreshment. Now, yes, there's many of them out there, and alcohol is included, of course. But here's one that you might not have heard of, might never have tried. You squeeze the juice of one lemon into a pitcher and the juice of one orange into a pitcher. Then you add a little bit of sugar and 1 quart of, what do you call that stuff? Carbonated water, 1 quart of carbonated water, and mix that together. It's got an orangey taste, but a little bit of a lemon afternote. It's very refreshing. It's very good. Juice of one lemon, one orange, a little sugar, and 1 quart of carbonated water. You got yourself a really nice, and of course, pour it over ice so it's nice and cold. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Right. Thank you, Tom, for that scintillating lemonade recipe. You're listening to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. What?
That wasn't lemonade.
Well, what was it?
It was the juice of one lemon, the juice of one orange, a little sugar, and then 1 quart of carbonated water.
Well, what do you call it? If you don't call it lemonade, there's lemon in there.
I have no idea what you call it. All I know is I call it tastes good.
Come on.
You could make something up. Maybe one of our listeners can email us with a good idea. What do we call Tom's drink? You know, I was out fishing with Don the Muskie Hunter this week, and
yeah. You
know, he was kind of complaining about your gut reports, Tom, but I think with this one, you're coming back strong. So
especially if you add some vodka to it.
Well, yeah, then anything's good, yeah.
But speaking
of Don the Muskie Hunter, we were out, as you guys know, I was out smallmouth fishing.
Right.
The last many days. And, we got fish. It wasn't like in years past where we were just slamming them. But, you know, you worked hard. We found some fish. One interesting thing, though, is I think it was Don's brother, Greg, snagged a goby. Or maybe he didn't snag it. Anyway, he caught a goby. And so he took and put it on Don's hook. We were fishing with some night crawlers, catching some nice smallies, and I resorted to live bait tactics, and man, that saved the day because the fish were in the shallow, clear water and spooky as could be. But launching out the old night crawler, they didn't know what hit them. But he hooked the goby on, and son of a gun, if all of a sudden we hear some noise in the back of the boat, and old Don's rod is doubled over, he got a 4-pound smallie on that goby.
How about that?
It sucked that right down, man. Yeah, really, really pretty interesting. Another interesting thing I saw, Tom, was we saw, and of course we're on Lake Michigan water, a giant big brown snake. Looked like it was over 40 inches come swimming by.
Yeah.
Big brown snake. Now, you were talking about, I think it was you that was talking about somewhere on, was either Lake Michigan, Lake, somewhere where there's an island where there's all these snakes and they want to keep swimming onto your boat?
Yeah, it was up on either Plum Island or Detroit Island up by Washington Island.
Okay, okay, so that is around there. I'm wondering if that's the same kind of snake. Do you remember? Because this thing was like brown,
yeah.
kind of a mottled, M-O-T-T.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, mottled brown.
Yeah, it was,
Brown. That's what they looked like? And then we had a little one swim by later. Now, they didn't try and get on our boat. They were actually cutting across the bay going from one side to the other. But we did talk to one guy on shore, and he talked about how he took a picture of one with a goby in its mouth, and it was eating this goby. And apparently, if you know, like when you look at the picture and blow it up, it looks like some kind of monster, you know, eating, you know, looks pretty kind of creepy. But those brown snakes, now you said they'd swim out towards the boat, and what, do you have to kind of beat them off with your rod tip?
Well, that one day when we were up there, yeah, as a matter of fact, one of them came over the back end of the boat, and the guy who was in the back of the boat, he grabbed an oar because it was a 16-foot like rowboat, and he was beating it with the oar. He finally got it out of the boat.
Now, one thing I'd like to know, I'm going to have to look in my Wisconsin field guide to nature, what kind of species of snake that is.
Yeah.
Obviously some type of water snake. Now, water snakes, obviously, you know, a water moccasin is venomous, but these snakes, you know, I'm quite sure they're not. But water snakes can be really aggressive. I do believe they all like to bite a lot, so we don't like water snakes.
No, I don't. No, definitely.
Now, would you think, would have you ever experienced a big bass eating a small snake?
Well, I've never seen it, but years ago there was a very popular lure by the Producto Lure Company called the Water Moccasin. It had a floating plastic head with a, you know, big hook on it, and it had a big ribbon tail worm on it that when it was coming through the water, it looked like a little snake, about a, you know, let's say 8 inches overall snake swimming through the water. And when I was doing commercials for it, I did have fish grab it and eat it, you know, so I did catch bass on it. It was popular for a while, but then it kind of like fell out of favor, I guess.
Huh. Well,
so I guess they do eat snakes. Sure. I'm sure
they would. Guess we got a caller here, Tom.
All righty.
All right. Let's go to Keith in Waukesha.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey,
morning,
Keith. What's up?
I just want to tell you, you were talking about those talons and for anchoring a boat.
Yep.
A friend of mine's got two of them, and this guy's pretty sharp, right? And we went out a couple times, and we'd be fishing with him for a while, all of a sudden, dead battery. Won't start. And he's got a 31, group 31 battery, which is a pretty big beast, you know? But we found out those things take 30 amps on draw, on the initial draw.
Yeah.
And then if you're sitting there in any kind of waves, that they constantly seek position. So they're using 5 amps every time they pound that little stake back up and down again. So unless you've got a real monster of a battery, an early 12-volt, you know, it can draw that battery down to nothing, and then you're stuck out there with them, and you can't do nothing with them, you know.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, you just got to be aware of the power. And I'm reading on some of these that they even draw when you're not using them, when you're sitting in the garage or whatever.
These are, Let me ask you, do they run off the starting battery or off the trolling?
I asked him about that. He said, well, we had them hooked up, and most people hook them up with their starter battery, and the problem is, too, I mean, they take 30 amps on an initial draw. So if you're not using a heavy wire where your starting battery is compared to where they are, you know, you can actually increase the draw a little bit because, you know, you increase the resistance with a lighter wire. So they make sure if anybody gets them that they're properly installed, and you just got to get a darn big Group 31 battery to keep them operating in your boat. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck, you know. So,
right.
Well,
right.
That's good information, Keith. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, they're nice, but everything that's nice, you got to have power to operate it. They don't operate for free, you know.
Right.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks, Keith. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Keith.
Have a good day, you guys.
Take care now.
Take care.
We got an email here, Danny.
Okay.
This is from our friend Bob Garfinkel. He says, guys, just wondering, the internet was on fire this week about the repair of launches on Pewaukee Lake. In northeast Wisconsin, we repair launches in the late fall or very early spring. Why would they repair launches at the peak of the season? Have you heard anything about any launches on Pewaukee being repaired right now?
Well, the launch here on the east end was redone last fall, and that's quite nice. Now, the only thing is, if you launch here, you do pay to launch. A season permit is $50. You can get that at the Village Hall down near 164, I guess it is, in Capitol.
Well, but, he's asking about being repairs being done now.
I think they must be talking about the Nagawicca launch on the far west end.
I know typically,
sometimes this, in years past, they've been out there dredging this time of year, and the water level is so low right now this year that makes launching even tougher. I was talking to one guy, and he said the launch over there pretty much is bad news right now. So they must be referring to that, I'm guess. Maybe they're doing some work there. Maybe they're dredging. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe if one of our listeners knows what's going on over at that DNR County launch in Pewaukee on the west end, maybe they'll give us a call and let us know.
The other thing, I was talking with Tom Kep about this way back in March, April, whenever, when ice first went out, the water level, you know, was visibly, you know, low. And I don't know, he and I were both thinking out loud about why they kind of regulate that with the dam here. Why don't they, you know, kind of regulate it a little bit better to hold more water, to raise the water level in the lake as opposed to letting it all flow through? I don't know. I don't know who really runs that or regulates it, but I would think that having low water, too low a water on a lake can be a problem too, especially at that west end launch.
Yep, definitely agreeing. We got to do this now because coming up next is the Hornswoggle, and that's brought to you by Carl's Country Market out there in Menominee Falls on Pilgrim Road in Silver Spring. Award-winning sausages and German specialties and all kinds of other good stuff. And, of course, by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. You want the fish attractants on your lures and you want the insect repellents on you to keep the insects away. So anyway, you can get a really nice prize package from all of those if you win the Hornswoggle. If you want to be a contestant and you haven't been one in the last 2 months, just call at 414-799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Be a winner in the Hornswoggle. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors, and I just want to mention last week's Hornswoggle winner, being as I just returned to Fort Bush yesterday. I did mail out the $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market yesterday, so you should be getting it soon, so hold tight there if last week's winner, I forget the name off the top of my head. And do we have a lucky contestant now, Sam?
Yes, today we got Gary in Menominee Falls.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good morning, Gary. Good
morning, guys.
All right, so today's topic is smallmouth bass, being as I was up smallmouth bass fishing this week. So here we go. Smallmouth bass feed primarily due to vibration and sense with their lateral line because they have very poor vision and are not sight feeders. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'm going to say Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle, yes. Smallmouth bass are primarily sight feeders. Okay, you're one out of one. Okay, smallmouth bass have thrived in the Bay of Green Bay and Lake Michigan grown much bigger due to the introduction of the invasive species known as the goober. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'm going to say no Hornswoggle.
No, that was a Hornswoggle. Goober was Gomer's brother. It was the goby. The goby that's been the introduced. Okay, so you're one out of two. Sorry about that one.
Got you on that one.
I just had to throw in that goober, you know. Goober right. Pile. Okay. Smallmouth bass, when caught out of the clear, cold water of Door County, can taste pretty darn good. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'll say Hornswoggle.
No, that was a no Hornswoggle. Yeah, the smallmouth tastes good out of there. Doggone it. Well, we appreciate you listening and playing, but try it out.
I guess I got to start smallmouth bass fishing. I'm Gary, the guy calls him bullheads all the time.
Oh, yeah, you're the bullhead. Well, I'll tell you what. If you call again, being as you didn't win, you can try and call in again, you know, next week if you want. And if you want, maybe I'll have some bullhead questions for you.
All right, I'll ace them.
All right, take care, man.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right, we have an email here, Danny.
All right, they're coming in hot.
About water snakes.
Okay.
And this comes from Bob, regular listener.
Snake expert.
On the DNR site, it's called the Common Water Snake. It's got a Latin name for it. And they go about 24 to 40 inches. They're common. They're non-venomous. And it's just like what you said. They got black or brown transverse blotches. They're kind of mottled looking, you know.
Mottled, yeah.
Some people, they think they're a water moccasin, but they're not, you know. They kind of look like a water moccasin or a cottonmouth, but there's none of those in the state of Wisconsin. And this snake is not poisonous, but they are common in the state. So,
okay. So that's what's the name of it again? What do they just call it? What are they?
The common water snake.
Common water snake. It's the common water snake. Yeah, I wonder if there's there's a common one. I wonder if there's an uncommon water snake.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, for every common, there's got to be uncommon. Otherwise, why call it common?
Well, because you see them all over the place. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, can you try and pronounce that Latin for us, Tom?
Oh, sure. Let me go back to it here. It's Nerodia.
Nerodia.
Cepadon.
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 Yeah.
Nerodia cepadon. Something like that.
Nerodia cepadon. Okay. Yeah. Kind of like the phenochloride benefit.
Yeah, right. Come on, let's not get carried away, you know.
I'm sorry, Tom. I shouldn't mess with you that way. So.
Oh, that's all right. No problem. But,
yeah, so, hey, there. Big news. There was a fire out on Pewaukee Lake. Did you hear?
No.
Well, I got back yesterday, and I talked to my neighbor, Keith, and he told me about it. And then my friend Diane, I talked to her at Park Avenue Pizza last night, and she actually forwarded me the video. It's a YouTube video. Now, I don't know if too many people in the world have too much time on their hands and are buying drones or what, but it's a picture. It's from the air. It's like it was shot from a helicopter or something, footage of this boat, and its flames are coming up off the front of this. It's a recreational boat. Looks like it's some 17 to 22 foot whatever. And it wasn't backed by the, didn't look like it was backed by the engine compartment. Looks like the fire's in front. Flames are coming up. Apparently two people had to jump off of it, and they were rescued by nearby boaters. And then some jet skiers came and tried throwing water on it. That didn't work. And in the video, you can see the police boat with a line hooked up to it, and they're towing it across the lake. Looks like they were towing it to the west end, and it's like this big flaming barge being pulled across the lake. It's crazy, man. Black smoke billowing out of it. Recreational boats all around. I don't remember, know exactly what day this happened, and apparently they took it to the shore, and the fire department had to put it out. So
I'm going to have to look that up on YouTube.
Pretty, it's a pretty good, pretty impressive video. So however they got it, from a drone or whatever, God knows what. The only thing is they put it to music. And, you know, I could do without the music. It seems like everybody wants to put a YouTube video on and they want to put it to some music. And, yeah, but the video is pretty, pretty impressive. I guess it goes to show you that, you know, I don't know how that fire started, but you got to be careful even when you're out recreating. Having a fire, and in fact, I have not one but two fire extinguishers on board. I've seen fires on Pewaukee over the years at piers when people pulled up to the gas pump. One time it was real scary back when John and Loie owned the place here. Flames were going up 10 feet high from this boat, and we ran out and cut it loose, and it was drifting towards the condos, piers, and we had to grab 5, 10, I don't know. I grabbed every fire extinguisher I could find, and we put it out. But, yeah, you got to have a fire extinguisher, and be careful on a boat. You don't want a fire on a boat.
No, as a matter of fact, those fire extinguishers, you know, people, you know, they buy a boat, and it comes with a fire extinguisher. Maybe they had to buy one, whatever, but they got one on there. But they neglect to check them. You know, because, you know, if you've had that fire extinguisher for 10 years, it might not be good anymore. You know, you got to check them to make sure they're good, and you might have to buy a new one every 3, 4, or 5 years, whatever it is. You know, it's just kind of like with your Lake Michigan flares, okay? You know, those go supposedly, you know, have to be rebought after they got an expiration date, you know? And sometimes, you know, we tend to forget to check those things.
Yeah, the one complaint I do have, Tom, is with old flares and old fire extinguishers, you can't do anything with them. You can't throw them away. The Coast Guard used to take flares, I believe, for training purposes. I suppose if you wanted to try and shoot one off for 4th of July, but you don't want to do like those guys did and light Patrick Cudahy Meats on fire. So, yeah. You know what I mean? And you don't want to go out in the middle of the Lake Michigan and shoot it off, figuring you'll be safe, because next thing you know, you'll probably have the Coast Guard coming racing in because thinking there's an emergency. So yeah. What do you do? I took a fire extinguisher to some recycling place years ago, and I think I had to pay them $10 to take the goddamn thing. Just a
really?
Stupid little fire extinguisher, yeah. Now, some of them, you can get them recharged, like the bigger ones.
Well, here's something that a lot of people have problems with. We got an email from a regular listener, Ray, and I know I get upset at this too, but he says, "Hey guys, evidently some boaters don't observe slow no wake regulations. I have relatives who live on Buffalo Lake in Marinette County. I'm familiar with that lake. All too often boaters speed past their shoreline and it's eroding their shoreline. Would you know of any way I could purchase slow no wake signs? Thanks for your help. I'm listening to the show as usual." Thanks, Ray. Where do you buy slow no wake signs? Where do you think you get those?
At the slow no wake sign store.
You know what, Ray? I think you might have to make your own. I mean, I don't know if you want to put those out in the water or, you know, put them up on shore, but you know what, Ray? I think even if you posted big 10-foot slow no wake signs on your shoreline, people are still going to make wakes.
I would suggest rent a new bower. You could get Tom out there to yell, "Hey, no wake out there!" Like the grumpy, like get off my lawn. It'd be perfect. Rent the new bower. Crabby old guy yelling. That'll slow them down.
But you know, seriously, even if you got all these signs out there, if there's no buoys out, you know, that, you know, official DNR, slow no wake buoys,
You know, these people are just going to keep going anyway, because there's a lot of people out there who just don't care, you know. They just don't care. So good luck, Ray, with that. You might have to make your own signs. And with that, we got to go to the top of the hour break, folks. If anybody's got any info for Ray on where to get those no-wake signs, just give us a call here at 799-1250 or send us an email at ceoguys@yahoo.com. We're going to the top of the break. We'll be right back for hour number two of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Odyssey Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha!
Welcome to the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You are listening to the number one two-hour live outdoor show in Wisconsin with your hosts, Dan Bush, and myself, Tom Neubauer. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., so hop on board the crazy train with us, and hopefully we won't go off the rails too many times. And you can always call in with your questions or comments at 414-799-1250, or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Okay, Sam, Dan, we're ready for another one. Oh, guess what?
What?
We got another email about that fire on Pewaukee Lake.
Okay, let's read it, Tom.
This is from Paul. Wait a minute, it's just loading up. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Come on, Tom. Get it together, will you, man?
Oh, this was a news story. This was from Fox 6 News. Two onboard boat caught on fire. Okay, they're showing the boat being towed.
Yeah.
So the guy sent us the YouTube thing.
Okay. You got the YouTube. You see the fire there.
But yeah. Oh, and look at all the boats on the lake. Oh, my goodness. I mean,
look at all those
boats. From the angle, there's a lot of boats out there.
Yeah, nice sunny day. People like to be on the boat, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're towing that boat. And, boy, that's a lot of smoke, too. Holy moly.
You know, years ago when I was sitting at John Smokey's Muskie Shop, another fire story, I was sitting there, and I look, and I see some guy frantically dipping like a little, whatever, middle bucket in the water and trying to pour it on his engine, and I see flames coming, and the guy's not saying anything, so I immediately run to my boat, grab my fire extinguisher, run on out there, and I guess I asked him the rhetorical question, do you want to use this? He's like, sure. He grabs it. He puts the fire out with my fire extinguisher. Now, mind you, Tom, those fire extinguishers are a use-once type of deal, right? So, you know, I don't know what it cost me, 20 bucks, whatever. The guy never even, he handed me the fire extinguisher back. He never said thanks, never said, offered to pay for the fire extinguisher, nothing. And I walked away thinking, geez, I can't believe it. I mean, if somebody came and helped me put my boat, you know, I'd be, oh, geez, thanks, man. Hey, okay, here's 20 bucks, whatever. Go buy a new fire extinguisher. Actually, our good friend, out of his kind heart, John Lehman, ended up buying me another fire extinguisher. Yeah, because he just, you know, I don't know, he felt bad that I had to pay for the extinguisher. But, yeah, it was just kind of crazy that maybe the guy was embarrassed. You know, that his outboard was on fire and he felt rather chagrined and didn't know what to say. I don't know.
Well, either he was very inconsiderate or was flabbergasted and maybe just didn't think of it and he was thinking more about the fire, the boat, whatever, you know. But, no, I know what you mean. You know, one time a friend of mine and I, we were fishing a bass tournament. And it was a small club tournament on upper and lower Phantom. And there's some kind of, I don't know, youth recreation outfit there. I don't know if it's a church group or what it is. I don't know. Anyway,
And this was in the fall, and it was cold. We had heavy jackets on, you know. It was pretty cold out, and the water temperature was cold. And we're out fishing, and we noticed a ways away from us, out in the middle of the lake, there was something like odd. It's like, what is that? And we got closer. It was an overturned canoe with two young girls holding on to it, no life jackets. And so we quick sped over there, and we got them aboard our boat. We took our jackets off and wrapped them around them because, you know, they were freezing. We tied a rope onto the canoe. We said, where are you from? They pointed, you know, and it's some camp over there. So we drove them in the canoe back. And as we were coming back, there was a number of adults and other, you know, youngsters, you know, on the dock. And we pulled up and undid the canoe, and somebody grabbed the rope, and then the girls gave us our jackets back, and they got out onto the dock, and they all left. Not one person said thank you. You know? So I know what you mean. I know exactly
not even,
what you mean. It's like, what, you can't even get a little nod of thanks, you know?
Not even the girls?
No, they were shivering. Their teeth were shivering. They didn't say a word.
How old were they?
I don't know. It was like 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range.
I mean,
you know?
You would think that's old enough to be, you know, you say, oh, thanks, mister.
Well, I think they were scared and really cold, you know. So
probably.
I don't think they were thinking, you know.
But some of the adults should have thanked you.
Yeah, you would think that the adults would say something. But no, they all walked away. They all ran away with the girls to get them into some warm, you know, building or whatever, you know. I don't know. So... Well, that's all right, though. We didn't really worry about it. We did our good deed, you know.
You know, Tom, I'll just say this to you, buddy, like my father used to say. He'd say, you'll get your reward, son, someday.
That's right.
In heaven. That's what my dad would say. You'll get your reward someday in heaven. Then he'd smile and walk away, and I'd think, I want my reward now. What do you mean, wise guy, old man? It's my dad being a smart aleck. Yeah, well, I guess we can't grumble. Although, you know, self-pity's better than none would be the other thing my mom used to say to me as well. Yeah, so I guess I couldn't feel sorry for myself anytime. You know, talking about it, now that being as we're on the topic of inconsiderate and considerate, I was fishing up in Ellison Bay this last week, and I was by myself one day, and I'd worked down a shoreline. And I got to the very end of the area I wanted to work, and I kind of turned my boat around as if to go back in the direction that I, you know, had just covered. And I was fishing this one, you know, dock and with rocks and so forth along a pier. And this guy, some guy in a bass boat comes zooming by, and he goes off about, I don't know, maybe 150 yards down from me. And he starts working back in my direction where I had my back turned to him. And next thing I turn around, he's right behind me. And then what he does a real kind of a jerk move. He loops around me. Now, at this point, he has no idea that I'm going to go back that direction. I had already covered it, so I was only going back just about another, you know, 40 yards, and then I was going to call it a wrap. But still, he loops around me and cuts me off. And I thought, what a jerk move that is. And he doesn't say a thing. It's some young guy in his bass boat, and he's got all his gear on and this and that. Doesn't say hi, doesn't acknowledge you, just loops around your boat. And you know, if I hadn't already fished that stretch, I would have said something to the guy. Now, is it something about bass anglers? Because it seems to me I've seen musky anglers, sometimes, but it just seems to me the bass guys are the most inconsiderate. Am I wrong about that, Tom, or what?
I would have to give that a 60-40, yes, you're right, yeah. Maybe not all the time, but yeah, I've seen plenty of that over the years, yeah.
Okay, you have, because you've been in tournaments, they got certain rules.
There's certain rules.
If I saw a boat work in a certain direction, there's no way I'm going to just jump in front of them. The guy wouldn't even look at me, of course.
Yeah.
No.
You can jump in front of him, but you make it down 100 yards, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. You don't, exactly. He didn't even do that. He just looped right around me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, if I'd been with... with somebody, I probably, you know, somebody else with me probably would have said something. But I like I said, I thought, forget it.
Well, you know, this last week in one lake we were on, the water, now we're kind of like in the middle of this wide opening channel, I guess you might call it. But anyway, and it was legal for making a wake, you know, for water skiers and whatever. But still, we're, you know, these water skiers come flying between the shoreline and us, and the lady driving the water ski boat, which, by the way, they were doing it illegally because they're supposed to have a, what do they call that, a watcher or whatever, a person facing the water ski.
Spotter.
Yeah, spotter. But it was just her driving. Well, anyway, she waves to us, and my son Nick waved back, and I said, what the hell are you doing waving at that Yahoo? You know, why wave back? I mean, they should have gone behind the other way around us, you know, where there was more area, more lake, you know. And, yeah, I find that with pontooners a lot, that you'll be fishing a shoreline, or let's say a weed line, and a pontoon will come between you and the shoreline clearly very close. They won't be going fast. They'll be just slow, like a little booze cruise, you know, just going along, having their martini, and they wave to you, and it's like they're driving right over where you're casting. And it's like, how inconsiderate can you be, you know?
I think in those cases, Tom, a lot of times the people on the pontoon boats, I think it's just that they're clueless. I don't think they deliberately mean... I don't think they deliberately mean to be inconsiderate. In fact, a lot of times, the problem is the guy driving the pontoon boat has blind spots where they don't see you till like the last minute. And then, you know, there'll be a boat of 10 people on a pontoon boat. And then all of a sudden, one of them will point towards your boat or point towards your planer board and say, hey, there's a line there fishing. Oh, and then you see the guy swerve away. They don't even notice you till the last minute. They're just kind of oblivious going down, you know, going on the lake.
Yeah, you got a point there. I can see that. And, you know, and they're not, you know, it'd be one thing if they were flying by, you know, but they're just going nice and slow, do-do-do-do-do, you know. No, it's, yeah, I can see that, and all of a sudden go, oh, shoot, there's a boat there.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They got the Pewaukee, you know, police out here, and every once in a while we'll actually see the wardens out here as well. Now, actually, one thing people don't realize, the wardens actually have more authority to enforce laws than the police out there, because the wardens can enforce the same boating laws and all the safety laws that the police department does, in addition to the game and fish violations. So they, you know, they actually have more power than, you know, whereas the police, they'll just do the boating, but they're not going to check your fishing license or your bag limit or anything like that.
Right.
But one suggestion for Pewaukee would be this. You know, you always see them out there, you know, in the evening, but early in the morning, you never see them out there. And if they wanted to get some violations, early in the morning is when you'll see water skiers going out and totally ignoring that no wake zone. In fact, I think they use those no wake buoys as like cones to zip, you know, zigzag between.
Yeah.
And they'll be going down the shoreline. And I think there is an ordinance on the lake where they're not supposed to be doing it before a certain time. But that's largely a time that you see a lot of the water ski bandits out there early in the morning getting away with stuff. And there's no enforcement people to be found at that time of the morning.
Right, and you know, it's funny, in northern Wisconsin, I fished a lot in northern Wisconsin. I have never, ever seen a warden or had a warden stop me in northern Wisconsin, never. And when we come back after this break, we got another email from Ray, and we'll talk about that when we come back. So stay tuned, folks, for more of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors, brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Baitmate Fish Attractant. Make sure you have the bait mate with you in the boat, especially if you're going to use the mini mites, my friends. And I would also highly recommend the Bite Stick Max, which is kind of like a chapstick type thing where you put that paste right on the side of your hard crankbait and it stays there so it doesn't wash off. I use that on my deluxe slammers for Pewaukee muskies and it sure hasn't hurt.
Yeah, we got a, as a matter of fact, before I do this email, I use it on spinnerbaits too. I put it on the blade and or on the jig of the spinnerbait. And so, yeah, it comes in handy. Anyway, this is from Ray, who sent us about the no-wake thing, and it says, Buffalo Lake is in Marquette County, not Marinette. Thank you, Tom. Well, Ray, if I said Marinette, I apologize.
When did you talk about Buffalo Lake?
The guy with the no-wake, wanting to know if where to buy no-wake signs.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Relatives, okay. Or he said his relatives were on Buffalo Lake.
Buffalo Lake, yeah. Okay.
And I might have said Marinette County, which is actually Marquette County. So.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, all right.
Unless there's another Buffalo Lake. But you know what? I don't think Buffalo Lake is the most common name. You know, think about it, Tom. What are some of the most common names of lakes that you'll see a ton of lakes named? Think of one.
Well, you know, they had a thing in the DNR with names of lakes. And they had a thing that listed the most popular names of lakes. And I don't know.
I would say, okay, how about Pine?
What kind?
Pine. Pine Lake?
Pine Lake?
How about Sand?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, those I think are kind of common ones. Trying to think, what are there? Because there are some that you find the same name, you know.
Yeah. I just can't think of them right now. I can't think of one where I've, you know, like, I'm, you know, I can't think of two lakes that have the same name.
Cedar? Maybe it's a tree thing.
Yeah,
Cedar? Pine?
Yeah. Well, I know up in Vilas County, during the Vilas County Muskie Marathon, Vilas County Lake is a big one. You know, when guys catch nice fish, they don't want anybody to know where they caught it. So they say Vilas County Lake.
Well, yeah. Or they used to always, they'd catch big fish. Didn't a lot of guys say Trout Lake? Wasn't that the big one? People would catch a big muskie. Weird, Trout Lake.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because it's a deep, clear lake. And
it's really big, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I saw in a Lake Michigan thing years ago where the 9-pound smallie out of Pewaukee was listed as Lake Michigan. So.
Oh, really? Did you? I didn't know that.
In Fisherman, yeah. They put Lake Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess close enough. What the heck? Long as you're not fibbing too much if you keep it within the same county.
Yeah. Well, one time a northern Wisconsin guide mentioned that he caught this big muskie one time, and he said he caught it on Plum Lake. The only problem was... people saw his boat, I mean his vehicle and trailer at Fence Lake that day, not on Plum Lake. So he got kind of caught. Hey, our friend, I don't even know.
We got a caller, Tom.
Oh, let's take that first, then we'll get to Jim's call.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Leo in Wasaki.
Leo in Wasaki.
Hey, good morning, Leo.
Hey, guys. That you're not going to buy one of those clip-on man buns?
Oh, they have clip-on ones now?
Oh, yeah, man. Get with it, dude.
Oh, somebody should shoot the person who made those.
Tom, I was just going to say, I think you could rock one of those.
Yeah, right. No, thank you.
No, you could do it, Tom.
No.
How about this, Tom? You and I will do our best fashion pose. We'll each get a man bun. We'll pose for a picture and post it on the website.
Oh, hey, do you remember one of our old producers? I'm trying to think of his name now. He had a man bun. You always called him Fat. Do you remember him?
Baby Tausch?
Oh, Billy.
Yeah, Baby Tausch, yeah.
Billy looked good with it.
Yeah, Billy pulled it off.
He had a man bun, but, you know, he's a big boy. I wasn't going to call him dumb.
I think a common lake name is Long Lake. I think there's a bun.
Oh, there you go. Long Lake.
There you go. Long Lake.
That's a good one. Yeah, good one, Leo.
That's a
Long
good
Lake.
One.
See, and then yeah. that guy on Buffalo Lake, forget the no wake sign, just grabbed a 12 gauge and some 7.5s and peppered the side of the boat.
Yeah, we on the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors there, Leo, don't endorse violence of any kind.
I'm joking.
I know. Well, you could do like I know one local guide out here in Pewaukee used to have a potato gun, and he would launch potatoes at people with the potato gun.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tossing M80 in the water. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for the call there, Leo.
Yeah, thanks, Leo.
Take care, buddy.
See you later.
I had snap-on ties when I was a kid. When you're a little kid, how embarrassing. Mom would give you that stupid little clip-on tie. And, I finally, once I turned 37 years old, I quit using that clip-on tie.
Well, we got an email from our friend Jim, and he said, Tom, this was posted on LakeLink. Why did the Waukesha County Parks not tell us this when season passes were purchased? And what it is, it's posted on LakeLink. It said, just an FYI, the Pewaukee Lake launch on the west end will be shut down 100% for launch ramp reconstruction. Start date projected to be 9/20/21 and not finished until November.
Wow. Well,
shut it down at the end of September and October, November.
You know what? I to be honest with you, I can't really complain too much about that. The pleasure boaters, by and large, are done by that time of year. It's the hardcore muskie fishermen. Now, I know there's a segment of our friends in the muskie fishing fraternity that like to launch out of that West End launch, but evidently, they'll just have to launch either here in the East End or at the Muskie Shop.
Yeah, at Smokies. They'll have to go over to Smokies, yeah.
But they are doing the work in the fall. And, so at least the other launches will be open. I guess it's a situation where no matter what time they do it, somebody's going to be upset.
That's true.
Yeah.
It'll kind of screw up somebody's day somehow.
Always, some way. Hey, before I forget, I want to mention, I was up in Door County, and I was at the Viking Grill on Highway 42, I believe, just out of, or right by Ellison Bay. And I went there for breakfast last week Sunday, and I sat down and ordered my eggs, and a guy looks over at me from the other stool, and he says, so how's going fishing today? I said, nah, I'm taking a break today. Been out, just kind of made a comment. And he said, if you don't mind me asking, he says, you're Dan Bush, right? I said, well, yeah. He says, oh, yeah. He says, I listen to your show all the time. He said, I knew John. He says, I used to musky fish. I had my boat on Pewaukee there. And he said, hey, we've met before. And he did look familiar. The first name is Jim, I believe. And he's actually got a place up there now. But it was really nice to bump into somebody. And he said he listens to the show religiously. He calls it like having coffee with us on a Saturday morning. Now, I guess you could say it's like sitting around having a beer, talking with a bunch of guys, or having coffee talking. But, yeah, he says he appreciates, been listening to the show for a long time, so it was kind of nice.
Yeah, that is nice when you're away from your area, where you live, and somebody recognizes you, yeah.
Well, I appreciate the kind, and somebody else mentioned as well, I do appreciate the people, making the kind comments that they enjoy listening to the show.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when my son Nick lived down in Arizona, he was wearing a Smokey's Muskie Shop sweatshirts one day, and he was out on, I forget what, some reservoir down there, and a guy comes up to him and says, you from Wisconsin? And Nick says, yeah, why? And he says, well, because I've been to Smokey's Muskie Shop. he recognized the shirt, which was kind of cool, So.
Yeah, in fact, my brother Tom, years ago, I got him a Smokey's Muskie Shop sweatshirt, and which you don't wear a hooded sweatshirt a lot in Florida, but he's in Sarasota. And yeah, one time he's wearing it, and sure enough, they go, Smokey's Muskie Shop, and he starts talking, and of course my brother goes, oh yeah, my brother Dan's a guide up there and works there, and yeah, Amazing.
Yeah, so that is pretty cool. Well, we got to go to the bottom of the hour break. Folks, if you keep those emails coming at CEOguys@yahoo.com or just dial the phone at 414-799-1250. We'll be right back with more here, right here on Sports Radio 1250 AM.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. Once again, we want to thank our listeners for getting on board the crazy train today. Hey, if you got a fishing report, hunting report, 799-1250, area code 414, of course, or send us an email. We've been getting emails today, CEOguys@yahoo.com. And right now, Tom, we do have a caller.
Alrighty.
All right, let's go to, if I can get my call screen up here. Let's go to Al in Madison.
Hi, good morning, Al.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm heading up the Lake Vermilion to do some walleye fishing. And Tommy and I had an...
It's Al Silk, right? Okay.
Yeah. Tommy and I had an experience on the Wisconsin River by the Dells when he was, I think, 11 years old. He wanted to go walleye fishing because he saw it on TV. We were on the river, and a 12-foot V came out on the river with four guys, and I think the skinniest one was 250 pounds. And I kept watching, thinking this is going to be trouble, and I was right. One guy leaned over the side of the boat to wash his hands or something and flipped the whole thing over. And it was, like you said, Tom, the girls on the canoe, no life jackets. Those guys were so big I couldn't even get them in my boat. They were hanging off the side of the boat as I was dragging them towards the shoreline. That river was full of boats, guys walleye fishing. I was the only one that went to help. Nobody else would pull anchor and go and help them.
Wow.
You know, it's hard to believe that somebody wouldn't. I mean, in that cold water, I mean, they could die. So you did the right thing, Al.
Well, they were, you know, they were really in bad shape by the time we got to shore. But I got into the shore as fast as I could. There was a deputy come running down the side of the hill, and you could hear sirens coming. I guess those guys had to go to the hospital because their lips were blue. They could hardly move their hands. They were like claws on the side of my boat. But I said, those four guys, there had to be close to 1,200 pounds of people in that little boat. That thing went right to the bottom. It didn't even have any flotation. It was one of those old pond boats, I think.
Wow.
And that thing went right to the bottom of the river. And they were there just treading water, trying to stay alive.
Well, let me ask you this, Al. Did they at least say thanks to you?
Oh, they were they couldn't be more helpful. They were like, oh, my God, thanks, we got a good kill, and this and that. And they kept talking. One guy wanted to hand me money. I just said, keep your money. You got to buy new fishing tackle.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You're a good man, Al.
Everything went to the bottom of the creek, and Tom didn't say anything for about a half an hour. And then Tom looked at me and goes, that could happen to us, couldn't it? I said, no, we got life jackets. We don't have that much weight in the boat. He goes, I'd like to go home now.
Is that what he said?
Yep.
He
was thinking it over for the last half hour and decided he didn't want to be fishing there anymore.
that's really funny. In fact, he may be listening to us now for all we know, but I'm going to have to give him a hard time about that. Now Tom is Tom's pretty much a hardcore fisherman now. So he recovered from his early childhood trauma that you put him through on the river there, Al.
Hey, he was just an absolute. I mentioned something to him. I said, look at those idiots in that boat. And it wasn't 15 minutes later we were hauling him out of the water.
15, kaboom, they go, what, you said one big, I shouldn't say fat guy, but I will. One big fat guy leaned over and the whole thing went topsy-turvy.
Yeah, one big knotwurst left over the side and then, you know, rolled it over and that was it. It was down. It went down, you know. It was fast. It all happened real quick.
Well,
amazed that I was the only one that went to help those guys. You know what that river looks like in the spring during the walleye run? You can almost walk all the way across the river on boats.
Yeah, those guys are lucky they didn't get snagged. Hey, it reminds me, Al, of a story. My friend Troy Woodrow, when he did the Pewaukee River run with another guy named Tom, and they ended up down behind a bar there somewhere in Waukesha, I think, on the river run, and they capsized the canoe, and then when Troy went overboard, I believe, and then when he tried climbing back on board the canoe, he launched Tom like on a teeter-totter, like a catapult, into the water. And they were both soaked. The next year, Tom wasn't so keen to go do the river run with Troy.
Yeah, I suppose you'd look for another paddle mate that way. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't go over. That didn't go over so good. But it can always happen. But at least that was a canoe in shallow water. I can see it being dangerous in a river, more so than a lake, almost, I would think, with current and so forth.
It went down pretty fast. We were probably 50 yards upstream of where that cable comes across down below the Dells Dam, and it was all real quick.
Hey, what's the word? You're going up to Vermilion for walleye fishing. Do you have any fishing reports on what's going on up there in Minnesota?
The last I heard, it's hit and miss because it's been, last week was the first warm week they had up there. And they were having, you know, 50 and 60 degree days with 20 degree nights. So the water temperature was flying all over the place. And the walleyes are scattered, was the last report. Now with the water warming up, I'll bet they're moving in shallow, you know, and they're starting to set up for a summer pattern, but not quite yet.
So are you going to jig for them or troll?
Yes. I'm gonna do everything I can to catch fish, and I'm gonna do Tom's location fish location. You check shallow, you check deep, and then you check in between. Everywhere on that lake is gonna get checked until we find a pattern, and then we'll still work the pattern. But smallies are moving up into the rock piles, but the sunnies, they call them the bluegills, aren't on the reed beds yet, but. Maybe later this week. We'll see.
They get some big gills up there as well, don't they?
Well, you know, I got some pretty big hands, Dan, and I've caught fish up there that were bigger than my hand.
That
puts them about 10 inches.
Yeah, there's some big ones. I was up there years ago, and there was a guy named Mike Stoner. He was on a radio show with us years ago. He's from Illinois, and he had a place on Vermilion. I and Tim were up muskie fishing, but he said, hey, if you get bored and want to go catch some bluegills, he goes right across over there. He says you can catch all the big bluegills you want. And so I came back and took a nap in the afternoon, and Brother Tim took my boat and went out there, and he did. He caught a whole bunch of big bluegills. He just caught and released, but he went out there and had a good time. So you don't really think about big bluegills when you think of Vermilion. You think walleye, muskie, smallies, but that sounds like a pretty good untapped resource that a guy can get some delicious fillets to give to Tom Neubauer.
Yeah, and if you can find where the perch are, too, it's not unusual to find some jumbo perch up there. So it's a pretty good deal. If I can make a connection with you guys when I'm heading back next week, I'll give you a report.
All right. Well, that sounds good, Al. I think you'll have a good week up there.
I always have a good week. I never have a bad time when I'm fishing.
There you go.
You're right.
Thanks for calling, Al.
Take care, guys. Good hearing from you, Tom.
Take care, Al.
Danny.
Yep.
We got an email here, Danny. This is from Art.
Art.
It says, hi, Tom and Dan. Love your show. Tom, I took your advice on going to the China Buffet. It's actually called the Asian Buffet, but that's right. China Buffet and Grill in Menominee Falls with my wife, and it was delicious. such a large variety of foods, many types of shrimp, ribs, egg foo young, different types of chicken, fresh fruits, cakes, cookies, ice cream. They also have a sushi bar, which I'm not a big fan of. But anyway, thanks for the tip. That's from Art. Well, you're welcome, Art. I know I like that place a lot, too. So,
Where's that located at, Tom?
It's in Menominee Falls on Appleton Avenue. That would be just maybe a few blocks west of Pilgrim Road. It's called the Asian Buffet and Grill.
It is called Asian Buffet.
Yeah.
Because there's other places that are, I believe, are called New China
Buffet. Oh, yeah, there's other places called like China Buffet.
And I'll tell you what, I love, love, love those places. But my problem, Tom, is if I go to a buffet of any kind, especially a Chinese one, I'm going to gain 100 pounds in a very short period of time. I just go nuts on those places.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I know this is going to sound silly, but I just can't eat as much as I used to when I'm there. I generally have two plates of food where I used to have three. I gotta slow down. I can't do as much, but it is all so good. And I would like to try everything, but you just can't. You know, you just can't try everything. It's just way too much. So.
Yeah, well, that's my problem. I want to try everything when I go to the
buffets.
Yeah,
exactly. But, me too. Yeah.
Well, that's good. We're giving our listeners all kinds of tips, not only on where to fish, how to fish, but where to go get some good, gosh darn good Chinese food.
And, you know, my grandkids, they really like Chinese food, too. As a matter of fact, when they get back from vacation, we're going to all go over there to the Asian buffet and grill.
When I was in Springfield, Missouri, in college, late 70s, early 80s, that's when I first had Asian food. And they had, all around Springfield, they had these little tiny little places, little Chinese to-go little restaurants, maybe one or two tables if you wanted to eat there. And back then, for like $3, you could get sesame chicken, sweet and sour chicken with a big thing of rice and maybe an egg roll. And it was, I would save my money as a poor college student to do that. And it was really funny. You'd go to this one place and they had like this counter with these beads. And behind the beads, you could vaguely see a cook back there. So you'd place your order, and the person, the waitress, you know, she'd be, you know, broken English. She'd take your order, and then she'd turn around and say something in Chinese to the guy on the other side of the beads, and then you'd hear him respond in Chinese, and within 20 seconds, this bag of food would come sliding out through the beads along the counter. It about come, they just come sliding out, and there was your order, man. It would just crack me up every time that bag would come flying out within seconds.
Yeah, but sometimes at these Asian restaurants or at these buffets, they have things that I don't know if, you know, like they got salmon. I mean, I don't know. I don't go to an Asian restaurant to eat salmon, you know. Or, you know, they'll have a few strange things, you know. But this place has got so many different things that I can see them putting out a few strange things. They just maybe want to cover all the bases. Hey, listen, we got the last break coming up, Danny, for this week's show. So we're going to take that last break right now, folks. Stay tuned. You're listening to Dan Bush, Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmitz is on the board, and this is the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. It's the final countdown.
The final countdown. Welcome back to the final segment of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. We are presented by Bait Mate. Fish attractant. Don't forget the bait mate when you're fishing. Hey, some Coleman insect repellent wouldn't be a bad idea. I'd suggest a non-DEET kind of stuff. I've got several bottles of that. And fortunately, Tom, the bugs have not been too bad this year. I was up camping and, geez, I didn't see hardly any mosquitoes. So that was the good news. Now, I'm sure in different parts of the state that can be different. It does seem, though, that Tom, you ever notice that some people are more affected by mosquitoes than others? Like, some people will be just, they just seem to go after them savagely, and yep. others, yeah.
I've noticed.
How about
I've
yourself?
Noticed that. Yeah. How about me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, here in Wauwatosa, we could never see any mosquitoes.
Okay.
I don't know why. We never get them. And I think last year we had a couple, but otherwise we generally don't get them. But I've been in areas where, oh, no, they find me. Yeah.
But, you know, I've been kind of lucky where I'll be, like, in years past camping, and I'll have a couple other guys with me, and we'll be setting up our tents and stuff, and they'll be complaining and slapping and talking about mosquitoes. And I'm like, I don't see a mosquito around me. So evidently they don't like my thick bush hide, evidently. So maybe having dry skin is the benefit one way after all, after all these years of my hands cracking and bleeding in the winter because it's too dry.
Well, I've heard that if you exude some type of something through your skin, I don't know if it's some kind of vitamin or something, like I guess if you eat a lot of garlic and you got garlic coming through your skin that they don't bother you as much. I don't know. I've heard a number of different things, you know.
I don't think your wife will bother with you too much, too, if you're smelling like garlic. So
I don't think so.
That's probably a multi-repellent for a lot of things. Hey, before we end today's show, Father's Day, I kind of alluded to it earlier, and my tip to you is if you want to try and get some bluegills, years ago, every Father's Day or right around Father's Day weekend, I would take my dad to Shawano Lake up in Shawano County there, and we would always slam the gills, and it was this time of year, and I would take my dad as a kind of a Father's Day kind of an outing with him. And the other thing I'd encourage our listeners, you know, I don't have my father or my brother to fish with anymore, and so if you can get on the phone right now and tell your dad that you're going to take him fishing, if your dad, call your son, tell him you're going to take him fishing. If you got your brother, call your brother, tell him we're going fishing this week. It's a good time to get out, have a good time, and it's kind of prime time to catch those panfish, I think, in a lot of areas.
Yeah, and you know what else is prime time is with these warm days that we have, the lakes get very busy on the weekends. So, you know, if you can get out early and fish for, especially those lakes that have that no wake till 10 o'clock in the morning, man, if you can get to one of those during the week on the weekend, at least, you know, it's not so bad, you know. But after 10 o'clock, watch it. One of the lakes that has that is Long Lake up by Dundee. Excellent fishing lake, as long as they don't have that, what do they call that green stuff on the lake, Danny? There's a name for it.
Algae bloom?
Yeah, that's it, algae bloom, yeah. As long as it doesn't have that, because that gets it every now and then up there. But, yeah, if you can find a lake that has a no wake till 10 a.m., that's awesome. That's awesome. Otherwise, if you can get out during the week, and let's face it, a lot of people can't get out during the week. You know, they have to go on the weekends, you know. But during the week would be your best shot, during the week in the morning.
Well, my suggestion is to do a Sunday morning as opposed to a Saturday morning.
Yeah,
Sunday morning. Especially the younger crowd, God bless them. I know they're out till 2 a.m. sometimes, the same people that would be jet skiing and water skiing. Well, sometimes they're feeling a little rough on Sunday morning and they don't get going till later. So
yeah.
Sunday morning can be a time to go. Now, fishing right now is heating up all around the region, inland lakes. I haven't heard too many reports about muskies yet out on Pewaukee, but I may venture out there at some point. The other thing that should Lake Michigan, for every report that I've had, is they've been going great guns on the salmon, especially the coho salmon earlier this year. Our friend Troy Woodrow went out Memorial Weekend on that Sunday with his buddy Jim Tostrad, JT, who guides on Lake Geneva, a couple of their other lunkhead buddies from Kenosha there. And they went out, and, man, I think they got, like, close to 30 fish. I mean, they basically limited out there in a morning of fishing out of Kenosha. So there's some great fishing to be had right now, and should just get better as the summer progresses.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going this week too, because you know, I don't care how hot it is, you know, those fish got to eat no matter what, you know. So boy, I'm looking forward to it. It's just that sometimes we as humans don't really like it when it gets too darn hot out, you know. But hey, just take a lot of water with you or stuff to drink, you know, and you'll be fine, you know. Especially, you know, you forget about it when you're catching fish. So
I'm looking
forward to it.
Staying hydrated, Tom, is most important. Hey, you know, and I'm not getting paid to advertise them for this, but the best beverage I've found is this stuff called it's Body Armor. And you can get the Body Armor Light, which is virtually no sugar or calories, and it's got the B vitamins, the electrolytes, it's got, you know, pretty much everything in there. And as far as cramps, I used to get myself dehydrated if I was out in the woods walking all day long or whatever, and all of a sudden your legs are cramping up. I found that that hydrates me quicker than any other thing. I used to do the Gatorade, Powerade thing, but I think that's got everything in it, and get the low-calorie stuff. But you should, you know, back in the day, Tom, as a kid, I remember you'd go on the boat, you wouldn't even think about bringing a bottle of water and sunscreen. Yes, I was thinking about this. I mean, sunscreen saved me this last couple weeks up on the Door County. As a kid, we didn't even have sunscreen back then. You just went out and your parents, I don't know, you just went and got burned. That's what happened every summer.
Yep. Well, and once you get burned, then it turned to tan, you know, then it was fine.
Well, that was kind of the story. You got to go out and get a good burn first and get that, and then that'll turn to tan. Well, that can't be good for you.
I know, that's not good for you. But anyway, it's time for us to go, Danny, and that's all I got for this week.
Well, we got 2 minutes left there, Tom.
That's for commercials.
Well, no, it isn't. 2 minutes and then commercials. So, you know, you could sing us a song, Tom. You can, whatever you want to do. But actually, that's all I got myself as well.
All right. To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Baitmate Fish Attractants. Kid Rock will take us out of here. We'll talk to you all next week, my friends.
Wandering out into this great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.